Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Garden Report is brought to you, as always, by our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline. Go to betonline.ag. Use the code CLNS50 for a 50% welcome bonus on your initial deposit. BetOnline is back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back for another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. A new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, contests. BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. Once again, use the code CLNS50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your initial deposit. From football to basketball, boxing, your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. Once again, BetOnline, where the game starts. Use the code CLNS50 for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit.
Look at us, guys.
1-0, baby.
We're back. That smile. Look at that smile from John. John's loving tonight.
I've been doing, you know, I've been just buried in football land, and I'm here to talk basketball with you fine people, and I'm so excited
about it. Sports balls.
We got good stuff. We got plenty to talk about, too. Positive, right, guys? Positive. Hey, that's what today's
never
about.
Never a doubt.
Well, I've got some positives. I've got some.
Oh, we had things. A laundry list of negatives. Now we got to talk about a win.
No, we have a little bit of – there's a potpourri. But first of all, I want to say I'm happy I'm happy that whoever's here joining us for this first game is here hanging
yes.
out. And we will have Bobby Manning and Sherrod Blakely joining us from TD Garden. They are there in an official capacity being media-type guys.
First official post-game show of the season. Pretty good.
It's pretty exciting.
Pretty exciting stuff.
It felt like it was a regular season opener. That's the vibe I got. Especially
a lot of energy in that building. It kind of felt like fans weren't allowed in for the last, you know, 18 months or whatever it was. So it makes sense, right?
Yeah.
No, it's totally different when you think about it, you know, just kind of out of the gate. I mean, I know they got one in. Just think about it, right? What did they get? Did they get one full capacity game for Brooklyn and everything else was the 25% prior to that? And you played most of the season without it.
And then you're playing way more, you know, I'm sure a lot of fans are priced out of that game. So this is a game where they could get in and, you know.
But from our perspective, as if you're watching from home, this is as lively. You've seen one crowd like this lively in 2 years, you know.
Right.
Last year in games that mattered, you're seeing 25% of the crowd in there. And Joe Sway, you were down there for those games. You could hear individual people yelling, you know.
Right. You could get your two cents in, like, you know, right before someone about to take a free throw. When you yell as loud as possible, everyone can hear you.
Hear Bobby cheering from the other side of the arena, right?
Bobby, in the press box, buddy.
Bobby, we talked about this.
And then the entire Celtics beat to hear me just trashing the team. You remember that time? I was so loud on one of our guard reports that they were like, I got like a text message from something.
They're like, the fans still in the building here?
Hey, man, we can hear you. He's like, you're going off right now. I was like, oh, all right. My bad.
Is it echo?
Yeah, exactly.
They can watch back the tape, too. I'm glad they didn't hear me.
We all are.
Or they probably did. They're like, who's getting this guy so riled up? Of course, it's John Zanis.
We need police here.
Yeah. So Anyway, there's quite a few things to talk about, and I think some fun stuff. I'm going to see if I can bring in this guy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Sharad's ready to go.
What up, Sharad?
He's ready. Oh, he's looking at stuff.
His
he's
audio, turned, is he muted? He can't hear, us? We can't hear him, or I can't.
Now, can you talk, Sharad? Yeah. Because we're not hearing you, my man.
He can hear.
He is talking. We can't hear him.
But we can't hear him.
It's we're at a
sensitive. See, I know those hand signals. I've been
because I can't see his mouth move.
Playing the role of Joe Sway tonight will be Sharad.
he did it exactly how I would. Remember, you remember the vibes.
So Sharad, can you check if your mic is working? And if not, log out and back in. We'll try to get you back in there.
It wouldn't be officially post game one without a little technical difficulties on our end. That just wouldn't be right.
Without a glitch. He's tapping his mic. Nope, no good. I'd say you have to leave and come back.
Yeah. Peace.
Okay. That's peace.
Thanks for coming.
We'll save the good stuff. We'll save the good stuff for when Sharad gets back in the room. But in the meantime, I do think
I'm getting cut off down here. You put me down here.
I'm afraid to get started. Little Jimmy.
You'll be all right. Thanks. You'll be all right. See, why do you have to just do, like, you know, Jimmy, little complaint. You just
dude, I got cut off.
You just guys. Switch him up.
Hey, use guys over there.
Hey, down here.
Get somebody like this. He's all looking up at us too. Like, come on.
I'm gonna get shot down again when Sharad comes, so it's all good.
So here's what when we get to the five box, we'll be good. People are asking if Bobby got fired. I don't think so.
not yet. We'll see how it goes tonight.
The night is young. Yeah, he's always a candidate to be fired.
Sure. He's at the top of our list for sure.
All right, Sharad, talk.
Oh boy, still don't hear anything.
No.
No,
Sharad, if you have a mic, you can do the settings thing. Hate to see this.
Really, truly hate to see this. I'm just going to go look at my phone for a second.
And make sure your input is not set to your headphones right now, because that could be a problem.
Ooh.
That could be a problem.
Come on, Sharad knows this stuff, John.
Sharad knows this.
He's a pro.
It's the first.
It's not Sharad's problem. This is a garden Wi-Fi issue. That's what I'm going to say. I'm blaming it on the garden.
I don't think so.
I'll just have to provide some updates. I'll provide some updates for you guys. We got Ime talking about Rob Williams. He said that he thought he was
don't get John started already.
He thought that he settled for too many jump shots tonight. And for me, it wasn't the jump shot. It was those little floaters. You know, I like when he was backing guys down. Remember we talked about that a few weeks ago? I like that he's adding that to his game. He's getting the footwork down, but he's just that little touch. I think it's going to take some time for him to really master that. But if he can master that, that's a huge advantage, because you talked about that before, right? Remember, John, you were saying how, you know, him around the rim, obviously he's a high flyer. He's, you know, those high percentage shots. But when it comes to him seeking offense, putting the ball on the floor, that could change things if he's able to add it to his game.
Here's the thing, and this happens, and, you know, I didn't want to get all in on Rob early.
It seemed that way in the group chat.
Well, I don't want to go gloom and doom, and I do want Sharad to work on his tech things. He's tapping that poor mic, but it's just not working.
Weird. Why don't you blow in it? Maybe blowing it or something.
Like it's a Nintendo game or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Sharad, maybe try no mic and computer audio, and let's see if that works. And we'll have to live with that if that's the case. Because we do just want to hear you at all costs. But my Rob Williams concern, I don't mind if he takes some jumpers in a preseason game because he's trying to work on that part of his game. That's totally fine. And sure, settled for too many. But, like, you see that in, like, football. You know, like, quarterbacks will try throws in practice that they wouldn't normally try. They want to see what they can do. And, you know, they'll throw interceptions, and then the writers will run off and be like, ooh, he threw three picks today. He had a bad day. Yeah, right. He's just trying some stuff. So I don't mind if Rob's just trying some different hats on. What freaked me out a little bit about Rob is he looked not as springy as I remember.
You guys hear me now?
Yes.
Oh! Yeah, there he is. There he is.
You guys can hear me now?
Yes, we got you.
Yes, we can.
Okay.
He looked less springy to me by a lot. And so, like, that was the question, was like, at media day, I was desperately asking, like, Sharad, like, did he look like good extra weight? Did it look like he just put on extra weight? Like, what is he? Didn't come in and look like jacked to me. So I was curious, like, what kind of weight was that? He did not look, I mean, he got blocked by a 6'6" guy at the rim.
Suggs.
Suggs. That was terrible.
Well, he was blocking everybody.
Suggs is a good athlete, but he missed a dunk, and he didn't get really high up on it. He didn't look nearly as athletic as last we saw
your
him.
Dreams?
Yeah. As what you used to.
As you dream about?
I think part of it. Sure. Part of it is he's just adjusting to playing with added weight.
That's something
that it takes some time. I'm not worried about Rob.
How much weight are we talking about here?
That is unspecified. Apparently, that's classified intel classified, at the moment.
Yeah. I'm a little worried, Sherrod.
Is it good weight or is it bad weight? That's the question. Is it muscle? Is he out of shape? Does he lose his lift a little?
Orlando is a weird team to kind of gauge because they don't really have someone who's going to physically challenge him that way. And there was so much feeling out process going on tonight. I mean, for example, if you were to go by tonight's game, you would say, okay, Peyton Pritchard should be in a regular rotation and Josh Richardson should be cut. Cause Josh Richardson was not very good at all. But again, it's one preseason game. I'm not going to throw out the bad.
Yes, you are. That's what we're here to do.
That's what preseason's for. Overreacting.
That's what we do. We're here to overreact. Look, put it this way. You can't do these shows and just say it's just preseason, so we're not going to. We have to react. We have no choice. The answer to everything.
We have to react, but we shouldn't overreact.
No, we're going to over. The chatter.
That
happens. Exactly. That happens naturally.
This is not how I put a roof over my head by not overreacting to things.
I'll tell you what, though. That Romeo stock is looking pretty good for me right now.
There it is.
Don't lead with
there
that.
There it is.
Don't
lead
with that.
Yes. The Romeo stock is looking
It was looking bad good. Before that it shot up though right before closing.
It was like Wheel of Fortune where he had bankrupted every single spin and then he hits the $1 million spin on the very last
I sold he all my Romeo right stock.
He woke
I sold
up at the right
all.
Moment. Jeez.
And I'm reaping it. He was good. It didn't matter.
I sold it to Sherrod, and he's a friggin' he's a Romeo millionaire right now.
That's my
crypto
Bitcoin,
Romeo.
Yeah.
Crypto
That's
Romeo.
My Bitcoin.
Yeah.
No, but the summer league guys did good though. I mean, down the stretch when you had Pritchard, you had Romeo out there, Neesmith, they brought them back. They won this game for them, really. But Orlando sucks. I mean, if we're going to be honest and keep it real, they're not very good.
Yeah.
They're not very good.
But you wanted to see that comeback because in the fourth quarter, I'm like, this team is, they can come back from this. Like this lineup is talented enough to erase this deficit. And that's exactly what they did. And that's what you want to see in a preseason matchup, especially the very first one. I'm not too worried about Robert Williams. I mean, he's got to adjust to the new way. I think there's a lot to what Sherrod was saying there. But also the way he's going about his offense is going to be interesting. You know, if Ime's saying that he's settling for jump shots, I like him being aggressive and putting the ball on the floor. If he can get that down, add that to his game, that's gonna add another dimension.
I think he's out there. To me, it looked like he was doing way too much thinking and not enough playing out there. Like, he's thinking about, how can I get my offense? How can I get position? How can I – and it's just like, just play, dude.
I mean, how do I justify all this money they just paid me?
Yeah, just play. Just be you. Don't stop thinking so damn much and just play the game.
You know who wasn't thinking, though?
Jaylen Brown.
Oh, there we go. 11-11. Look at that. Right on the nose. It took us 11 minutes to talk about Jaylen Brown. Not bad. We're getting better,
waiting.
Guys.
I would have kept
better.
It going.
I was going to keep going. Don't forget about Jaylen Brown. Come on, guys. You guys are just haters. How many times
he's
in the
good,
comment
man.
Section? How many times people used to get at us in the comment section about Jaylen? So
we're trolling at this point.
Jaylen would have 47 points, and we'd be like, I got to tell you, man, I don't think Tatum's ever going to be the guy.
Yeah, Jaylen was low-key screaming, they can be one alpha, guys. They can only be one alpha.
Oh, man. Yeah, he was playing for that captaincy tonight.
Yes.
He was good, man. He was so good and consistent. I mean, he could have easily dropped 40 or 50 if they played him regularly.
Absolutely. This is a regular season game? Absolutely.
Yeah. And they just had no matchup. And how about Tatum? I mean, we talked about him, you know, getting stronger. I mean, that dunk he had.
That was the play of the day.
Yeah. He blew by, what's his name?
Wendell Carter.
Baseline.
Wendell Carter.
And he had nowhere to go. Old Tatum might try to get a little cute there.
Yeah.
You know, and we've seen that where he does the little thing, you know.
Give me my foul.
Yeah. He didn't. I think he was like, I guess I'm doing it. And he just went straight up. And you could tell afterwards, he kind of got down. He gave a little mini flex. And then they did the replay and you saw the ISO. And he was kind of like, he gave a little smirk. And he's like, I can do that now. You know, like,
yeah, yeah.
It, It definitely was a newfound power, you know?
Yeah, that woke up a lot of people. Because the section that I was sitting in, there were a lot of scouts around. And when that play happened, we were all like, holy shit. They didn't
put it on the scouting report.
Exactly.
Low by power.
Because now you can't play bully ball with him anymore. It's obvious you can't play. And then he's getting calls that he probably wouldn't have got a year ago. I mean, they called a couple fouls on Terrence Ross that were just like, Terrence is looking around like, you'll call that a foul? And Tatum looked at him like, yeah, I'm Jason Tatum. You damn right they're gonna call that a foul.
Right.
He's got a different kind of swag about him. And that dunk I thought just kind of punctuated where his head's at right now. I think Tatum's always had a high level of confidence, but now it's just like, it's not just confident that he can be a really good player. It's confidence that he can be the best player on the floor every single night, regardless of who's out there.
I've just had it reported to me that Bobby's causing problems on the Zoom right now by asking questions with his mute button on. We can't have this.
Oh, man.
Somebody earlier He's asked if he was fired, and they may be right. It's preseason for everybody, including the reporters. So, you got to figure out that mute button.
Otherwise, we'll be back in Zoom G League. We'll have to put him back in Zoom G League.
We have a skill in G League. It's called Celtics Roundtable, and I will send you there, my friend.
Sherrod and Bobby are Syracuse alum, but I don't know if they taught
this is the Garden
Zoom
report.
Etiquette
this is
in,
the big league.
At yeah. Syracuse when you guys were there. I don't think that was a class at the time. Zoom etiquette, proper Zoom etiquette.
You act like Zoom has been around for like years. Look at this; it's like 4 years old. Yeah.
Bobby's yeah, Bobby. John, I just John saw Bobby send... with a diploma like 2 weeks ago. That kid just graduated.
Yeah, John will send you to the G League. Okay, you got to keep it. Fresh. He will send you down to the second division.
Call to the round table. We got to call to the round table.
Here comes Zoomy McGee. What's up, Bobby?
There he is.
Zoomy McGee.
Oh, man. Bobby, where
are you?
Still
muted.
You better watch out for those rats, man. It's a little chilly out. You might have a friend crawl up on you.
Where the I think he's frozen and he's gone.
I froze him.
Good debut from Bob.
Bobby hates rats.
Bobby Manning, ladies and gentlemen. There he is. Thank you, Bobby.
And that was Talking Celtics.
Are we going to need to send him to homeschool, Jimmy?
Oh, no. He doesn't even qualify for homeschool, which is tough.
Yeah.
I have a feeling we're going to keep this going. We're going to keep this going for so long that people are going to actually think that Jimmy was homeschooled growing up. It's going to be.
Also is great?
There's
merch coming. We joked about.
With homeschool, yeah.
We joked about not talking about Brown, and then we actually did start talking about Tatum as we were joking.
We did almost right away. Bobby Manning, you got us, buddy?
I am in. Oh, yeah. I am on the hotspot. We got some Garden connectivity issues, but I'm good now.
All right, but you are unmuted, I understand. Is that correct?
Yes.
For the first time tonight?
Stop.
Hey, it's not my fault. This is an opportunity to deflect.
He's like, how do you guys know about this already? How do you know?
Yeah,
When you're fending off rats, you can't really worry about whether you're muted or not muted. It's tough. It's life is rough up on that ninth floor.
I had a good question too.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you ask it? Why don't you ask it here?
Lights out? Jeez, there's no lights up there now.
I'll ask you guys. What's going on with Rob? I got to start with Rob because that was ugly. I mean, three more shots than he's ever missed in a game, I'm sure, in his life.
I don't care about the misses. He just looked unathletic to me.
Well, he was
take that back. Not he didn't look like his freakishly athletic self, and that's what worried me a little bit.
Yeah, Mo Bamba got up there in one of his alley-oops and met him at the rim, which we don't see ever, really. You know, when he gets up there, he usually finishes. He had a weird leaning shot posting up into a guy, so it was kind of a mix of approach and, like you said, the athleticism. He got blocked by, I think it was Jalen Suggs from
behind. It was Suggs. Right before Suggs blocked
him. Yeah, it was Jalen. Yeah. Jalen Suggs.
Yeah. So, that stuff you never see from Rob. Never mind a 0-for-7 game. I look back, the most he ever missed in a game before tonight was 4 in the NBA, so... It was a rare sight from him, and he kind of fell out of things when he had one of those big plays go against him. They bring Horford off the bench and get rolling with those lineups. So there's a cause for concern there. Ime got asked about in the presser just a few minutes ago, and said it was the approach. They want him to get rolling to the rim more often. They've been working on the shot. But that obviously wasn't there today. There was another like pick and pop play that he had with Brown that just isn't. Mm-hmm. I know you like him trying those, John, but you know, do your bread and butter, as Ime said. Well, get to the rim, get down on those rolls, and get in midair.
This is the time when you try that stuff, Bobby. This is when you experiment and do the stuff that isn't going to kill you or kill your team. I mean, if they won this game by 30 points, okay. If they lose by 30, okay. But do some things to amplify and elevate your game. And Rob, he has to become more than just a rim-running, slam-dunk, layup guy.
But pick and pops, is that what he's ever going to be?
I think he can be a pick and pop.
He can knock down a jumper.
Yeah, I definitely think
we saw him do it last year.
Bobby does.
Let's put it this way. Rob can make a lot of money being the player he is right now. But if he ever wants to be more than just a side piece on a roster, he's got to do more to his game. I mean, shit, look at Ben Simmons. That's why he's in a crap spot that he's in. Because there's parts of his game he didn't work on. And this is the time where you work on your game.
This is all because of Tristan Thompson, isn't it, Bobby? This is because we were mean to you about Tristan all year.
You're talking about the Tristan Thompson era?
I thought we might have gone the whole season without mentioning Tristan.
Yeah, did you really have to bring him up?
Game number one.
We're going to talk more Tristan than we are Jalen.
I thought we were going to talk Josh Richardson.
we'll get to him, too.
Sherrod's really mad at Josh Richardson today, huh? He was pretty bad.
I just keep thinking back to Bobby. I mean, Bobby's not a fan of his, and all game long I'm thinking like Bobby is just gonna rip him a new one as soon as we get on because this is exactly what Bobby was talking about the concerns that you have with him.
Yeah, I don't know where he fits in. I don't know where he wants to be a spot up guy who spaces the floor a little bit.
Oh my
Jays.
God,
he's not capable of that. He's not a ball handler. I don't think he had the ball in his hands once making stuff happen in this game. So he's just kind of flowing, and you know he was supposed to be a defensive stopper. He's one of the main culprits in those switches getting screwed up there where guys would get those late shot off for the Magic.
Although he will never pass Enes Kanter. He will never pass Enes Kanter. I mean, there was one drive-by that was, my goodness.
Yes, I mean, it was a mess tonight in terms of the defense. And, you know, the offense, they turned the ball over a ton. They didn't make any shots. I think they finished 35%, right? So there were some good signs from the Jays, but we knew what they were capable of. The rest of the roster, besides that late burst against, you know, some no-names on the Magic, was pretty disappointing for the first showing.
Let's talk Richardson a little bit more. I want everyone else's impression.
Harsh Bobby.
For me, a couple things I noticed. One, the release looked terrible. He almost looked like he was sideways on it. Really strange angle with his shoulder. He didn't even seem square when he was shooting. Really funky. I don't remember seeing it like that. I don't know if he's experimenting with something. That's just how it looked to me, but it looked very unnatural. We know he's not, his shooting has gone down, and last year was a real, was a low for him. But right now, just based off of the chat, he's public enemy number one already after one preseason game. I don't know what the
he's
guy
gonna be
did,
a frustrating player,
but he's the new Grant right now. Happiest guy in the building is Grant Williams because he's got Richardson now.
Who's and Grant actually had a pretty good game.
So did it look that bad? I mean, again, it's a preseason game and we're overreacting to one
Richardson,
thing.
Richardson, I thought looked bad,
and he looked bad, right?
His defense wasn't nearly as impactful as I thought it would be. And again, part of that has to do with the fact that they just aren't on the same page as a team defensively. But his individual man-to-man defense was what I was paying attention to. And guys were still able to kind of get by him or get to spots past him that forced the defense to shift. And he just wasn't as impactful at that end of the floor as I thought. Now, his shooting, no surprise, him going 1-for-8, I absolutely expect to see him have nights like that. Because I don't think he's a very good shooter. But there are going to be other nights where he's going to go 7-for-8. And you're going to be wondering, like, wait a minute, what the hell just happened?
Yeah, he's streaky.
When it comes to shot making, he's feast or famine.
He's streaky, but I think he's trying to get back to the guy he was in Miami. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he's working on his mechanics, trying to tweak some things, trying to get back to being that closer to a 40% three-point shooter that he just hasn't been the last, two, three seasons now.
Yeah, but John mentioned this in that article that he sent, you know, when Richardson was all the rage that year. He was the guy making it happen down there. He had the ball in his hand a ton. He was able to run that offense.
Yeah.
He's never going to get opportunities to do that
here.
It's strange,
right?
We think of the hierarchy of ball handlers on this team. He could be like 8th, 9th, 10th in order of getting looks on the ball.
That's no question about it. But it does look like he's almost reinventing himself on the fly with his shot right now. It really did look funky to me. And again, I don't know. I haven't.
He said he's been working on it a little bit, making some tweaks on the things that happened last year.
Yeah, he's definitely
nothing that dramatic.
It.
He looks like he early years Rondo with that shot right now.
Yeah, but I need him to
be better. That was Schroeder.
I need him to be better defensively and just keep guys in front of you better. I thought too many guys were able to get past him. And that's you can't help this team in that regard if that's what you're doing.
No way.
Schroeder, he didn't shoot the ball particularly well, but he was a clear test defensively. I mean, he was definitely getting under the skin of some guys.
He had a little dust up with Ross there, didn't he? I think it was Ross.
I love that. We didn't see any of that last year. We didn't see any of it. Nobody got into someone's face.
Boxing out at the 3-point line, holding out the arm on Ross. I mean, there's some scrappiness, nastiness there to him that's going to get under some guys. There's going to be a handful of scrums with Schroeder in the middle of it this year. I can guarantee that.
When we see Marcus Smart playing the role of peacekeeper.
Well, not only that, but Richardson wants that smoke too, right? He's that kind of guy.
Oh, he's
more of a talker, but he's not trying to throw belt, but he's gonna stir it up, and that's another guy that you want on your team to have that sort of attitude to the defense.
And Schroeder's like he's like very I want to say energetic, but like when he got out there, he was like kind of zipping around on the court. You know, he's kind of got a little flashy passing to him. He threw that lob up, right up to the rim. I forget who brought it down, but
Horford.
Yeah, Al, exactly. Yeah. So like things like that kind of like keep you on your toes out there when he's in the game. So I definitely like what he brings to the team, and I think he's going to be a nice spark plug. Whether
those
or not
are two
he's coming
guys
off the
with
bench.
Chemistry
we,
too.
We already he's have one Sparky guy, Jimmy.
I know. We got two spark plugs.
We got
now.
Too many Sparkies.
We're gonna short circuit the team here, but
Hans was on it right away. Sparky.
Well, I said this in the chat. Speaking of that, I don't think it's going to take that long for Peyton Pritchard to pass Richardson in this whole situation. He does things they need him
are
to do.
Are they competing for minutes? Those two.
I think so. I mean, Pritchard.
Are you still doing that?
More of a win.
He's not. He's competing for that. Neesmith is fighting for his minutes.
Neesmith, we got to talk about him.
And potentially Romeo, who we talked about a little. I want to circle back briefly because let's get to Neesmith. But we're gonna get to Neesmith through Romeo. Sherrod wanted to talk
about.
Well, Sherrod wanted to talk about Romeo and his stock. Prior to that, Sherrod, he made a three early, and then he made that other one late. He took it to the basket, almost because I felt like he had to on that time when he got fouled.
He had a smaller guy guarding him. So
that's fine. But before that, there were two plays in a row. On that Neesmith hustle play, he had the – right before that, when the three went up, he had the laziest half-ass closeout ever on that shot. And then the ball, long rebound, Neesmith tapped it in, went the other way, made that really hustle play, and then finished on the other end. So nobody remembered that Romeo friggin' just kind of mailed it in there. And then two possessions later, he just got backdoored really easily. And again, it didn't result in a bucket, but he did have this kind of, from the moment he walked on the floor, he just kind of, and I know this is his general affect, but he just looked like he didn't want to be there at all. And we're sitting here trashing him on the text thread, and then bang, he hits the game-winning three, which is what he did in the summer league as well. This guy stinks, And then he just freaking hits the game winner.
Nice little hustle play to set it up, too.
We were just like, ha, ha, ha. Yeah.
Right.
But it looked like the same stuff we have problems with was there. That always bug us, and that's what did you see that? I know you're joking about Romeo stock.
Yeah, I mean the biggest thing about Romeo is he's just not consistent. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. He does just enough to tantalize you into believing that this guy can really make an impact, and then you realize no, he's not going to do it consistently enough. And to me, if this is a guy that's like near the end of my bench, I'm okay with that because that means at any given time.
But he's not okay with that.
I'm not so sure about that.
I think he's just okay with whatever.
Yeah.
I think he's just kind of whatever role they want to use him as. Yeah. Cool with that.
But I think that's the problem as well. I mean, it's a good problem to have. It's a good problem to have for the team. But from his perspective, it's like, well, where do I fit in here? With Dennis Schroeder in the mix now, it's harder for him to realize what his window is or where he's going to fit exactly. And he's going to have to figure that out between now and the start of the regular season, or the Celtics will rather.
Yeah. One of the folks in the chat, they invoke the words that we don't really like to ever say on here. And it's James Young.
There it is.
Yeah.
I have been trying to just stay away from that, but It's not a stretch.
I feel like there's some things that Romeo Langford can do, and there was nothing that James Young could do.
He's just an all around better player. So he's shown far more flashes of being someone who can help.
Exactly,
James Young, they're not that different in terms of. You just wonder how badly does he want to
be out there. It's the approach, not the skill set.
Approach and not having a high level, not being excellent at anything. However, Romeo is at his best a very good defender. James Young never showed anything at any. He didn't have a plus skill at all, and he never showed it.
Very different answers too. When you think of Romeo addressing his role, it was sort of a shrug. I don't know at media day versus Shura and I were on the call this morning talking to Neesmith. I'll be ready for whatever they give me, whatever. I'll be ready to go. Blah blah blah. And then Neesmith Langford, like even in the demeanor and the answer, the same exact question, just kind of a shrug. Like I haven't even thought about my role. That was the exact words he said in media day, talking about like his positioning on this team. It's almost like he just kind of feels himself sliding away, and it's like, all right, you can catch yourself here. There's an opportunity to grasp some minutes here. And we know you've gone behind the veterans, but there's, 7, 8, 9 spots in the rotation that you could catch yourself on, not fall all the way to the bottom. And it feels like demeanor-wise, he just kind of feels himself falling below 10. And that's where he was tonight. He didn't come in until, 38 minutes into this game.
But Neesmith,
I wish he would just really lock into wanting to be a 3-and-D guy. Because I think if that were his focus, just be a 3-and-D guy, he's got that. I mean, he could be in the league for a long time.
Shot looked good tonight.
Yeah, it did. And I think, again, I think that he just has to figure out what exactly can he do to keep himself, not just in the league, but help his team. And I think his defense and that corner three ball, because he's going to be there when he's on the floor. Teams are going to give him that shot.
I just saw the Horford video. My Lord.
What's that?
The one from the presser there. It was the Wi-Fi.
Oh, was that the one where you couldn't? Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's number 2 this season, second time, and we were only one game in.
Yeah, you get one more shot at this, Bobby, and then I'm going to have to go to the bench.
Oh, yeah, he missed that whole thing. He missed that whole thing.
Bring in the lefty.
Get the lefter in here.
What was your question?
Zanis comes out and he's like, no, man. Bobby's like, no.
I'm going to hand him a towel and a, you're out.
Give me the mic.
You bring him his jacket like you do, with the relievers. Sorry, buddy.
You know what?
Getting back to Romeo, if it's going to be Romeo versus Neesmith, if that's like the one of the camp battles we're talking about, I just think that the way Neesmith is playing and the way he affects the game, his energy out there. We joked about it last season because we said he was going to hurt himself or hurt somebody else. Still kind of the case, but I mean, he single-handedly brought them back into this game and gave Romeo a chance to win it. But by the way that he was playing down the stretch, he had a couple big threes. He drove to the hoop. He saved the ball from going out of bounds. So I really like what I see out of Neesmith, and I think that that's a guy that pretty much what Bobby just says. Like, you got to understand that, like, you can carve a role out for yourself here. You can work your way into the rotation. Doesn't mean you're going to be a starter, but you can still earn yourself double-digit minutes per game and creep on up there just by the way that you play when you do get those minutes. So give it all you got out there. I mean, even if you see yourself being, preseason the 11th guy off the bench or whatever it is, like, you're not stuck there.
Well, there's a path to minutes, though. That's the thing. It's a new coach. There's no anything, right?
It's a defensive coach too, another guy who really emphasized.
Right. Yeah, but I think there was more of a path last season, John. It's not the same path this year. It's different.
But, I don't think anybody's earned anything.
But I think for Romeo, it's going to be more important on the defensive end. Can you lock down a Kyrie? Well, when he's able to play, a Kyrie Irving. Can you lock down a top tier guard in this league? Because if that's the case, then that's how you earn yourself minutes. That's how remember the Avery Bradley comparison, young Avery Bradley comparison started. Like he got Ray Allen out of the starting lineup because it was his defense. He was able to lock down guys in a way that Ray couldn't. I mean, obviously, the two players are completely different, but in this situation for Romeo, I think, especially playing for someone like Ime, if you're going to earn yourself some minutes, you're going to get it on the defensive end. This team has plenty of other guys that can get points.
Definitely. He's not even going to be asked. I mean, if he's open, like Sherrod said, 3-and-D guy, take the shot if it's there. But they're not putting him in for instant offense or to, run
Romeo,
the offense.
Romeo, you mean?
Romeo, yeah.
Right.
Is that what you were talking about, Josue, Romeo?
I was talking about Romeo, yeah.
Yeah, okay, I agree with that. I think, when they put Neesmith in, like, they do count on him to, give a little bit of the offense, yeah. and maybe they will pair him with the with guys that aren't but Jimmy, first guys.
Is Neesmith that far ahead of Langford?
I think he's ahead of Langford. I'm not going to say he's that far ahead. You think he's that far ahead?
That's yeah.
I mean, I guess.
I don't think they're neck and neck.
Yeah. No, I don't think they're neck and neck at all. I mean, I would definitely play Neesmith over Romeo, but I think that you might put him in for different situations. Maybe, like, if I mean, John seems to think that Romeo is this, like, defensive stalwart that, you know, deserves playing time solely on his defense. I'm not really there yet, but certainly you wouldn't say that about Neesmith. So if there was a situation where there was one or the other, then I guess you might have a reason to go to Romeo. But overall, I'm putting Neesmith in there because of what he gives you on offense, what he gives you with his energy. You know, he's kind of like diving over the court. Like, you're never going to be like thinking like, is this guy asleep out there? Cause he's not.
I don't think they're competing necessarily for minutes between one another. I think Neesmith has a role. I think Romeo could carve out a role. I think Romeo could, I don't think Josh Richardson has promised anything on this team. And I think Romeo could fight for Richardson minutes. Richardson, it's assumed by a lot of people is coming in because, you know, they brought him in and they signed him to an extension that he's in the mix for the starting lineup. And he's certainly going to be in there for significant bench minutes. I don't think anything is guaranteed there at all. So I think anybody can play their way past anybody in that second unit. Really, who's set right now in terms of their minutes?
No one.
Jalen, Jason. No. It's smart to an extent, and you know and you know you're going to play the two bigs some, but you don't know how much. Everything else is up for grabs.
I never thought Richardson was like a starting. Like, I was never really into that whole thing. I mean, I'm not just saying
some
that
people
tonight.
Thought. I don't know, Sherrod.
I know, it was out there.
I did.
See, I thought he would be someone that would compete for minutes, not just be a starter, but definitely, you know, one of their first guards off the bench. I did think at worst he would be in that conversation, but. If he's not able to just really be solid defensively, which again we're I'm hoping that
everything is under the disclaimer of it's only one game and it's a preseason, so
he has to be better than what we saw today if he's going to help this team, because if this is what we're getting, then they're screwed. They're screwed because he's not going to help them. Then you're going to turn to Pritchard. You're going to turn to look for a shooter more. You're going to lean on the guys who. Can actually have a skill that helps you win, and not making shots, getting your ass kicked on defense. Last time I checked, those two things do not help you win games.
That's not it. Yeah. That's not it.
We've got those guys. We got lots of those guys.
Oh, we've seen that. We've seen that.
That was
we've
a seen constant that
movie,
last year.
And it's not cool. It's not a good movie.
We saw a lot of those guys last year.
Yeah. Too many guys like that last year.
Well, at least the one thing I think will help guys like Romeo is the style of offense these guys are playing, right? I mean, pushing it up the floor, up tempo, the ball constantly moving. I mean, after this game, Ime actually said that he thought the guys were passing a little too much throughout this stretch. But we love seeing that though, right, Sherrod? Because last year we didn't get enough of that. Like, we didn't get like a fraction of that, it felt like, most of the times. You know, guys wanted to be playing hero ball. You go and I go. You know, Tatum and Brown were leading the way in that regard.
I love the pace.
Now this culture, exactly. The pace is different, you know, compared to last year. Obviously, that's going to lead to turnovers, especially the very first preseason game. But it's inspiring to see guys sharing the ball the way they do.
You know what I love?
Yeah, but Ime was right. They were too damn unselfish early on. I mean, those two turnovers that Marcus had in the first quarter were just bad.
It was in his head for sure, though.
Yeah.
First possession of the game.
I was thinking the same thing.
I was laughing my face off. It swings around and Marcus gets it. He's like, oh boy, three. And he's about to shoot. And he's like, wait a second. I'm the point guard now. And he swings it over to Tatum, and Tatum makes it.
Yeah, it was, I think the crowd.
That was interesting, John.
The crowd even went quiet. They're like, is he going to do it? Oh, shit.
That's interesting you say that, John, because he really didn't have one of those catch and shoot three looks throughout the game, which is something he would do upwards of 20 times in a game.
So you know in his head,
he had one from Tatum.
I'm the point guard, and he was telling himself that. You know,
he gave a pass to Tatum. Tatum threw him right back at him. He said, "Okay, I'm taking this one." But outside of that, we didn't see a whole lot of catch and shoot tonight. That's true from Martin. Yeah.
No,
I thought Tamar was pretty good.
Yeah, I thought he was solid. I mean, he didn't shoot the ball great, but I thought overall he did what he was supposed to do. Play. And this is, again, he doesn't have to shoot the ball great for this team to be good. He just needs to play his role. He's an elite defender who's going to have the ball in his hands more than he's had in the past. And having the ball, damn shot. having the ball in your hand means you make the decision on who has the best shot. I thought he did a decent job of that. He can be better, but this wasn't a bad start for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joe, you had Sway, three guys.
Real quick, Joe Sway, if you can, rather than
am I too loud?
You're coming in a tad hot. If you can see if you can adjust your level there. Go ahead, guys. Sorry. Who was
that? I was told I was too faint before, so my bad.
Okay.
As he screams into the
Actually, while Joe Sway adjusts his audio, let's
I thought I was too low, my bad.
While Joe Sway adjusts his audio, let's treat everybody to the post-game segment here with Bobby Manning and Al Horford.
We'll go to Zoom question now from Bobby Manning.
Oh God.
Yeah, you guys are mean.
Bobby, Jimmy.
Good question, Bobby. Good
question. Ask a question.
Bobby, right ahead.
Oh, he's on no.
Yeah, this is like Bobby. Inside the NBA. This is something they would
he still
do.
Doesn't
what do you think
know?
Bobby might ask Al?
Oh, damn.
Damn.
We got jokes coming.
Oh, no. Al is not happy with you.
All right, is that a wrap?
I'm just glad that John didn't put up a clock, like a timer.
Happy preseason, everybody.
That was it.
Hey.
And that
damn.
Was it.
It's okay, Bobby.
You never got it in at all?
No.
That's what you said. You truly hate to see that. You truly hate
and plus,
to see that.
And plus, John, you know you got like a 15-second window. Like, if you don't get it, if you don't ask by then, they're going to move on. Like, yeah.
Al gave me 40 seconds.
I feel like I got to take some like Vaseline and put it over Bobby's face because he's cut and he's bleeding. You got to stop the bleeding right now.
Yeah, man. You guys are bleeding. Well, John. No, not you guys.
Slice that over, man.
We can't joke.
How do I sound, by the way?
Oh, no. Bobby, what were you going to ask?
That thing's fucking broken.
The world, go ahead.
The world will never know.
I feel like we're on the app. The world will never know.
Wait, so Bobby, were you just like, you obviously didn't know you were on mute. Were you just going strong or were you staring at him and he was staring at you?
I wasn't even on Zoom. Zoom dropped out. The wheel started spinning. I wasn't even looking at you.
That's not fair.
You didn't know.
Oh, it was an internet sabotage.
This wasn't a Grant situation. I thought Zoom was closed. I was probably there frozen staring at him. But I'll get him next time, hopefully.
See, the world. See, this is the problem. Like, the world isn't ready for these Zoom post game interviews. It's just not ready for it yet.
We've been doing it for the last 2 years. Are you kidding?
Yeah, these little blips like tells me that we're just not quite there yet.
You guys thought I was looking for the mute button for 40 seconds. No, that was,
totally.
We did.
Yeah.
Totally.
Everyone thought that.
We totally did.
So, what did you think of Al? What you liked Al tonight?
I loved Al. The way he pushed the pace in transition, got on the boards, found guys. His shot wasn't there. I think he got like four really good open looks and only made one. Really? But he got downhill, crashed the basket hard. He looked spry. I know you thought he looked a little slow, John. I'm not saying he was blazing up the court, but he looked spry to me.
Why you gotta use the word spry like he's 45?
All right. I thought there was a real buzz in the building for Al.
There was a pulse. Again,
there wasn't a standing ovation when he checked in, but you know, everybody in the building was like, "All right, Al's back. This is exciting." And when he finally checked in, he made some things happen. Again, this is a guy I think is a shoo-in as a starter, whether he's next to Rob or playing center. And I think you saw a definitive difference between the two in terms of approach here. Al was in great positions throughout the game, was able to get the fast break going. And that was what I was going to say before we went on the aside there on my Zoom thing, is that you had three great players, I felt, in this game between Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, and Horford connecting things. The half-court offense wasn't great, wasn't smooth, but when they got on transition, they were explosive in this one.
Yeah, and that's to me, that's going to be the key to this team really exceeding expectations. They have to be able to get easy buckets in transition. It has to be there. Whether that's Al, you know, starting to break and finishing, man. Whether it's Tatum or Brown, you know, making plays defensively and get others involved. But they've got to get easy buckets.
So, yeah, I'm so glad we got Celtics basketball back. These comments are gonna be dying laughing, man.
I'll say this. I'll give Al credit. I always thought he was gonna be a little slower out there, but he was moving around. So
yeah.
I think he's got maybe more of a role than I
it's nice to have a professional though, if for real. Like there's a calming thing to Al. Like Al in his first stint, all anyone could focus on was the money. And when he'd put up games that were like 8, 9, and 6, and everyone would be like, that's what you're paying max dollars to. And that became the story for Al. Like, is this a max player? And it didn't matter. That's, he was what you needed him to be, you know? And like, now you just need,
now they need that stuff more than ever.
You need that stuff. You needed a little bit of everything. You need the guy who can, you know, jump out and hit a three, who can, you know, play team basketball, team defense, lock up a guy in the post, you know, move the ball on offense. There's exactly. so many things that he does. Yep. It's exactly what you need that you didn't have at all. So, like, Al 2.0 is a bigger deal for this team, I think. Not a bigger deal than the first one. Al was great for this team, you know, despite his detractors. But you need a presence like that, especially after last year when we just had so many guys who playing who just weren't ready for prime time. That was such a big issue with this team, is all of these 4A main Red Claws who are just occupying way too much space and time on the floor.
Right.
And like, I couldn't second get year those guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Sherrod.
Yeah.
What's up?
I couldn't get enough of the pick and roll play, the play between him and Dennis Schroeder. I mean, obviously there's some familiarity there from their days playing together with, you know, the Atlanta Hawks, but having those two guys on the floor, like, man, like who can you compare to those two that the Celtics had last season? No one. Whether we're talking in the front court or in the back court, the Celtics needed those kind of guys, you know, to really help spread the ball, you know, veteran guys. That kind of leadership, it's telling. Even though it is one preseason game, it's telling what they can do with those guys.
All right.
Yeah, we started earlier. Dante, I thought we 11-11, make a wish. All right.
We acknowledge.
I was just at the 11-minute mark.
I was just about to get the, I was just about to move it on to Wancho, but I guess people want to talk about Jalen.
No, a lot of Wancho love. A lot of Wancho love.
He was good.
I mentioned Jalen.
Before we get to Jalen. Time's up. Now, before we do for real, the
sponsors.
I know he may said before that. Oh, let's do sponsors. Yes.
Yeah.
Let's do
it. I was kidding.
No, we would never do a read if it wasn't for Jimmy.
Thank goodness. No,
I gotta get paid.
We are still, and we are, guys, I got to tell you, we are up against it now.
That's right.
We were
right.
really cavalier about this for a while. And we're like, yeah, just get it whenever. We are out
six
of time.
Days.
Oh, I thought it was the fourth.
It's the eighth.
Oh, it's the eighth. Okay.
4 days. This I was it. Right at first.
All right. I have more time.
October 8th. This is it. Last chance to get in your order. Who's wearing it? Josue is wearing it. Maybe Sherrod.
Legends. Legends.
Not right
Legends
now, but
in the building.
It was earlier.
In the building.
Legends Apparel, my friends. The Garden Report's sponsor.
Big sponsor for us.
Dude, big sponsor. I mean, we love these guys.
This
we
is
got
some
the goods.
Shit. I mean, this is like real. This is like not even
perfect night for a try.
Sponsor, told you guys.
Legitimately comfortable. And think about some of the people behind it. I mean, guys like Mook, you know,
Steve
he's
Nash.
Down with Legends.
A couple
and
other people.
Morris is down with Legends. You know, that's some good shit.
Yeah. So athlete-owned apparel brand, legends.com. Use the code GARDEN20. Save 20% on your first order. Please support these guys. You support our sponsors. It allows us to bring you more content, which is what we want to do. We'd love to take this show on the road, live Garden Report for the opener, season opener. Yeah.
I'm getting the joggers. John, yeah. I need those joggers.
Yeah. So we want to throw a party for you. So go in and get this.
Bobby, legends.com, promo code GARDEN20.
Why did you just
you
ask John? Like
you
he
get
was,
those joggers. John's not gonna buy them for you.
John, can you give
I'm
me?
I'm just
the
letting them know what I'm gonna do.
It's like, Dad,
Bobby, you can get those
Bobby,
joggers.
You
can get those joggers,
money,
but
son.
You cannot wear those joggers to the game next time you're working. But that's one.
No, I'm wearing them
thing.
To run. Joggers
okay,
at a jog.
You should buy some for Al to make up for tonight.
Yeah,
I
there you
Al
go.
Let me back in. That was bad. Yeah,
that was tough.
There might be no coming back.
Al, I got you something. Before I ask a question, what's your address so I can send you?
I promise it's just to mail you clothes.
I got you these joggers. It's not at all weird.
That's going to go over real well. I'm
yeah,
gonna
yeah.
mail you clothes.
I'll pull a guy. What's your size?
Yeah.
Waist size? Oh,
but this is real. We all have the gear. We actually love the gear. And many of us, and I'm not kidding and I'm not blowing smoke, even though we got some free stuff, we went in and bought more because we liked it so much, and that's a fact. True. So that is true. So Garden 20, save 20% on your first order. Please go check it out. It's been they're like a good sponsor, and the stuff is great, and we've all enjoyed it sincerely. So full throated.
If you have like a brother or really any family member, and you want to get your Christmas shopping done, just do it now, because what's going to happen is it's going to be like December 12th, and you're not going to have anything bought, and you're going to go online and ship it, and you're not going to be able to get anything shipped because there's no supplies and shipping's delayed, and you're going to ruin Christmas for your entire family. So just get it over with now. Save a couple bucks. The more you spend, the more you save. Don't forget that.
Yeah. The folks in the chat are in mid-season form tonight.
Yo,
yeah.
For real.
They got some fire.
Are they talking shit?
It feels tonight feels like the season opener.
Yeah, this is funny.
No, I think they were excited. As excited as the
season game, everyone was thrilled.
What's your inseam, Al?
We were excited for basketball. I think these guys are excited to get back. I'm happy to have the group back together. So many familiar names. Half of them, you know, hate us, but that's fine.
That's really my life.
We
got to
have the people back in too, John. We got to take.
And by us, I mean me. Half of them hate me. They love Bobby. Right, everyone loves Sherrod, of course. But that's all good. But yeah, no,
I'm Jimmy.
I missed this. I missed this a lot. I'm glad to have it back.
Well,
so yeah,
it misses you.
Legends.com, code Garden20, 20% on your first order. So I did want to talk
better, John. We got the Raptors on Saturday. We'll have all those people back again soon as well.
Oh, I love that. That.
Yeah, Bobby just renewed his passport for this.
I did want to ask, Ime said, don't read into what I'm about to do. And when somebody says that, what they mean is read into what I
read into what I'm about to say.
Definitely read into it.
Because I understand why he said it, but you try stuff because you want to see how stuff works.
Right.
I think there's a world in which they would like someone with Wancho's skill set to play the four along a more traditional five. I've never really understood the Rob and Al together thing, because I think at this point in their careers, they're really both fives, and it really is a double big, even though Bobby disagrees. I think they both are going to play the center position and defend centers, not stretch fours.
Rob's coming off the bench?
We don't know that yet, Bobby.
Easy, Bob. In your dreams.
Oh,
take it
man.
Easy, Yo, Bobby.
Bobby said that. Bobby said that.
Wouldn't you like that?
Hold on, Jarvis.
He put some bass in his voice when he said that. Shots fired.
Listen, that was our compromise, Sean. That was the only way. We got to fit both guys in there.
Yes. Anyway.
Don't go away from the treaty.
So what do you think about Wancho and or, you know, just Ime saying, don't read it. Look, he played four guys you absolutely expect to start and slid Wancho in there. And he said, we know what we have in Al, but I don't know. I mean, what do you read into the thing he told us not to read into?
Well, I think for the first preseason game, it's the one time where the usual coach bullshit, I'm actually buying this one time.
Okay.
Because I think Wancho, in a perfect world, he would be a guy that they could turn to, a stretch big who can knock down threes. But you already got that in Al. And so to me, Wancho, you just need to see what the hell he can do, because he's the one guy that I think Ime is intrigued by, because he's got some skills that you kind of like, but you don't know what they look like when he's in the line of fire. And he's one of those guys, whenever you talk to him, he makes it pretty clear. I'm just going to play whatever role I'm asked to play. When he's asked, you know, do you prefer the five, the four? And his response has always been, I'm just a player. I just want to play. Yeah. And so that's kind of what they're dealing with. I don't expect him to be a major significant contributor this year. I don't. I think that they got too many other guys who Ime trusts, first and foremost, and are talented and seasoned to where – I just think just the natural law and order of the jungle is going to put them on the floor before Wancho.
Well, this could be, honestly, rolling auditions where what I believe is Ime knows he's starting those four guys.
Right.
Al is an easy default, so I might believe that what he says is, I know what I have in Al. So he's just going to kind of roll through different combos to see what it looks like with maybe a three-guard lineup or a Richardson slide in there. Would it be stunning if the same four started next game with somebody other than Wancho in there and not named Al? I don't think so at all. So I could definitely see that.
Richard.
Trying different combos. I don't see that, Pritchard. That doesn't make sense.
I can see Naismith.
I could see Steve Smith getting a shot. I could see Richardson getting a shot. You know, I don't know.
They'll give that Richardson one a look. I'm pretty sure if they bring a team that's more spread wide. You know, Magic obviously have a number of bigs out there, so you know the double big per se. If you want to throw Wancho into that as well, work here. And I think, you know, he may even mention that, just the matchup work for Wancho here. I guess my only hesitation with him in that role is, yes, you could have a guy in the starting lineup who plays less minutes and kind of rotates into other things as the game goes on. But like Sherrod said, Wancho seems that far down in the rotation that you'd be questioning whether he'd have minutes, period, never mind starting. So I just think it's a big leap, even if his minutes are limited in that starting role, to see him jump from the bottom to the top in that regard. I also don't think he brings that to the table.
Who is constructing stuff?
That's Bobby. That has to be Bobby.
No, I know exactly what that is. It's just people cleaning up, and it's such.
Right, we have a hockey game. Is that the Bull Gang? Is it what's happening?
Yeah, that's what that is. Yeah.
That's Bull Gang?
That's a hockey game. I think they're already at 2 or 3.
No, I didn't know if this one.
I thought that might have been some media dining or something that was going on in the back.
No, that's they're unscrewing
the remnants of it.
Look, here's the dude thing. Is like 10 feet away, just staring at Bobby.
But here's the thing:
just because we assumed Wancho wasn't playing doesn't mean Ime doesn't think.
But what's his attribute? Because you know, rebounding. Brad loved the cutting. I didn't see it. The rebounding was good. The shooting.
I'm kind of with Bobby
right there.
But you know, why bother?
I think there's something. The one thing I went off was Brad when they acquired him saying that he's a great cutter and they really like his cutting off Jason and Jalen. And I didn't see
much of that tonight.
I didn't see the finishing. I didn't see him being a guy rolling to the basket that people found. I just didn't think he was active enough out there.
He was, but you know what? He was, I mean, he was fairly active around the rim in terms of rebounding. He didn't get a ton of rebounds, but he was active and engaged at that end of the floor, which is something that, I mean, if we're
he's a bruiser. Yeah. He, if you put him in that Team Spain game in, you know, over in the Olympics, he's phenomenal. In this space, speed, shooting game, he hasn't been that effective of a pro. And I like him. I think he has a toughness. And there's this backstory that people don't really know about him coming from Minnesota. Really pissed off that the team didn't let him play in the Olympics because of his shoulder injury. He was talking about that coming in here. So this is a guy really motivated coming in. But I just... The fit, I think, is difficult at that 4 spot when they already have shooting.
There must be something. So here's the thing. I think in many cases, the reason we make a case for someone like Nesmith isn't because we think Nesmith might need to be the starter. It's because we think that lineup could use a guy who does the things that Nesmith does well. But you don't know if he's going to do them well enough to justify the time. There has to be something they like in what they think Wancho can bring to the table to even consider him for a role larger than what we think of. Whether he can or can't is, I guess, what we're trying to find out here in the preseason. But they must like something there and say, if we can channel this from him, this could work. Even consider him among the starters here. I think it says something about what they might want to do. Whether or not it works, I don't know.
Well, the thing is, you know, he was in there and Al wasn't, and him and Al are the only stretch bigs they have, really.
Right.
Like legitimate guys who can play the 4 or 5 and stretch the floor, and so they know what they're getting with Al. So they need to see if he's someone that they could ideally keep around in case of an emergency, in case you need him to fill in for Al or Robin, and can he do that? And he ain't Al. I mean, he I thought he was pretty good, but he's
definitely behind Al. I mean, I think Sherrod's right. Yeah. They're just putting him in, throwing him into the fire and see what they got, because they don't need to see Al. They know what they've got in Al. They know Al can start tomorrow and play with these dudes, but they want to get a good look that doesn't mean it doesn't cost them anything. Get a good look with Wancho and the starters to see, you know, if that's a guy, like Sherrod said, if that's a guy they can count on in a pinch, or if they can count on it, you know, certain times of the game.
He'd be
the guy to come in when the big guys are in foul trouble, when they need someone to go in there and stop the bleeding. You know,
if he's able to
earn a role like that, that would be his ceiling, I think.
Mm-hmm. He's starting.
he's not starting. okay. On Horford's off nights, potentially, yeah.
I can think of so many better lineups that don't include him. So many better starting lineups. I would rather have Pritchard at the point and Smart at the 2, like Bobby just said, than having Wancho in there. I'd rather have Nesmith in there. I'd rather have Richardson in there. I'd rather have so many other different combinations.
And again, like I said last week, there's an interesting battle between a Grant, Cantor, Parker, and Hernan Gomez. Bobby,
something about all this just screams we don't have our shit together. You know what I mean? Like if the Celtics were to do something like that. Yeah, that's true.
They have time. Nobody has their shit together. These guys were just taking pictures a couple days ago.
I don't think Pritchard's a starter yet. He's just not there yet. I don't know.
No, he's not. I didn't say do that opening night. I said, can that happen in March, April?
Not only is Pritchard not a starter? I think he's going to play fewer minutes this year than last year.
I do too.
I think they need a shooting. Did you guys just see how they shot out there? They didn't get going until Pritchard came out.
Based on what, John? Just your overall negative attitude towards generally everything?
Bringing in Schroeder and Richard. I think the numbers.
That's why I think you're playless. I just don't think the numbers are going to be the same.
They brought guys in ahead of him. That's it. That's all.
We're in a league now where you need to shoot the ball. Like, they can play the best defense in the world, and they'll struggle to be a home court team if they don't shoot the ball. And shooting was a massive issue from the jump tonight until Peyton Pritchard started leading those late units.
Well, if he goes pro-am Pritchard, you know, AKA, Pritchard. You know, up-and-coming Trey Young, 92. Okay. But that's the only way, honestly, man. Like, he'd have to really distinguish himself from behind
the arc. He's the best shooter on this team.
Guys, he averaged 19 minutes a game last year. I don't know if he's going to get that this year. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I disagree. I mean, it's going to be tough with Schroeder, obviously.
He played
but
a
I
lot.
Think that,
he's not going to play as much this year.
I think that he's shown that he's capable of playing that many minutes, and I think it's on Ime to figure out a way to get him in the game.
I think it's possible.
Good point, Jimmy.
I think it's possible he should, Jimmy. I just don't think he will. That's all.
Okay. Richardson is going to be the issue. I mean, he's going. That's the guy that is going to keep him from getting on the floor. Playing more minutes than he did last year. I think he'll be in double digits, but I don't think he'll play every game, and I don't think he'll play like 20-25 minutes. I just don't see it happening.
I think Pritchard's going to be ahead of Richardson sooner than we think. The shooting's on a premium on this team.
Yeah, Bobby, I don't disagree with you on that. I think it's very possible, but again, that to me is the ceiling for him, like being ahead of Josh Richardson, which means you're probably playing probably close to 15 or so minutes.
He played 19 minutes a game, guys. You're telling me there's 22 minutes a game. 20
Fine.
Plus
Maybe he played 19. I think he's going to play more meaningful minutes. How about that?
Well, but that's not what we're talking about.
I just changed it. How many meaningful minutes did he play last year?
You're calling me negative for simple freaking math, and you're moving the goalpost now. I said it's going to be hard for him to find more than 19 minutes.
No, but to go back to your last question,
you find them for me. I like the guy, but give me a break.
And Schroeder's
going
to play like 35 or so.
Well, that's the thing. Schroeder's going to play a bunch, but they did lose. I mean. They lost Kemba. They got Schroeder. I know that Kemba played, you know, half the games and whatever with the minutes, but I still think there's minutes that Pritchard can fill. And yeah, Richardson's going to take some, but like Bobby said, I agree with Bobby. It's not going to be too long before Pritchard's ahead of Richardson, I think. Obviously there's a lot to go here, but I just like what I've seen from Pritchard dating back to summer league, really dating back to his rookie season, but
he's been good.
I mean, he's been good, and he can. There's not many guys on the team that can hit that, you know, 30 foot, you know, like just like step into it and just with confidence.
Yeah,
I want to throw it back to
two more minutes. I just don't think the opportunity to capitalize on that is going to be abundant.
Sherrod, why are you being so negative? I'm just kidding.
Jimmy said, I want to hit on two things before.
God, is that so negative?
I hate Pritchard. I hate Marcus. I hate
bookmark this video when Pritchard's got that minute.
Everyone's so triggered. My God.
Jimmy made a good point, though, about finding a way to get him on the floor. And this roster is in a good spot to be able to hide some of Pritchard's weaknesses. They have great help defenders, a lot of guys who, you know, can help inside and out if he gets picked on out there. And, you know, he's going to compete on that end of the floor, even if he doesn't succeed. We've seen countless guys on the Celtics over the years, even if they don't fit in the defensive mentality of this team, still find their way onto the floor, and they figure things out to get a shooter, a scorer, a guy who can generate some offense into the mix, because that's how important offense is nowadays, even though I'm a defensive guy. This team is just starving for shooting, so I think you have to find a way to get Pritchard out there. And to answer John's question about Hernan Gomez, that's probably to some degree what they're looking for in him too, because he's a guy with some shooting pedigree at the four position.
That's what they want in that position. That's all. Yeah. Look, Grant is in the mix for those minutes. If he can come in, play
whoever
better,
shoots is going to get in.
Whoever shoots, Grant. You know, obviously, you know, Al's got his minutes, and he's going to be there as well. But that's what I mean. Is everything is up for grabs, and that includes could Pritchard take out Richardson and pass him for minutes? Could he start to eat into Schroeder's minutes if he's not everything that you want him to be? Of course, it's there for the taking. And so is those 4 minutes and wing minutes between Nesmith and Pritchard, or the 2-3 spot there. That's all up for grabs. Whoever plays gets it. You really don't have a lot of certainties on this team. So anyway, that's where we're at. One thing I want to talk about before we close.
We got to talk about Jaylen, though.
It's not Jaylen Brown, but it'll be – I promise we'll mention Jaylen.
We did
Jaylen.
It. We did it already.
The 11-minute mark. Just
I actually do have a question.
11-11.
Oh, okay. This is what I was going to talk –
this is what I want to talk about.
I want to talk about this, too.
This
so
came
we're
out
good.
Earlier. This came out earlier in the week, and I was surprised. So when – a lot of people are like – you know, if Marcus Smart's a leader, why isn't he the captain? And
no, not a lot of people. Me, I brought that up last week.
Are captains important? Do teams need them? Not every team has them. What's the point? Blah, blah, blah. Then Ime comes out and he says, not only are we going to have a captain, we're going to have two captains. And my initial thought was, well, that's obviously going to be Jaylen and Jason. I was surprised how many people are like, no way, no. And then not only that, people were like, it's going to be Marcus and Al. And yeah. I was like, are you kidding me? So, okay, you guys go.
Sounds like Sherrod's completely on board.
He's got
I don't
it.
Like
Sherrod.
That idea.
I want to hear Sherrod's
I don't like that idea.
I don't think it's
– what do you not like about it?
Okay, for Al's perspective, that's just not who he is. He's not going to get in people's faces. He's not going to be – he'll lead by example, but I'm not sure these guys need someone like that. They need someone that's going to get in their faces.
That's why they got two.
I think if we're going to call these guys the two alphas, we better treat them like them. Right? We better treat them like so.
There it is.
At the end of the day, if you don't give them that, who's going to be the guy to get in their faces and they're going to say, okay, Marcus, we agree with you. Or, okay, Al, we agree. Because that's not Al's personality. And if you put that on Marcus, I just think some wires will get crossed.
Yeah.
And you could have something similar to what happened in the bubble. Let's just say
we were begging Al to be that guy to bring peace and sanity to the Kyrie team. And he was like, no thanks, man. Yeah, you guys are on your own.
You
just mentioned
I, before I forget that, this, I just want to get this
he
out
didn't.
Though.
Kyrie.
I'm in the camp.
No,
that,
but when there was beef between the stars and the kids and bridging the gap, and can you get into a star's face? Can you tell the kids they got to be more mature? And Al was like, yeah, we just got to figure it out. And he was Switzerland there. So I don't think so.
Right.
For
that's
more
right. Not who he is.
And he was like, this is not my headache anymore. And he left. So, like, I was like, Al was the only guy I thought had a chance of bringing that room together, and he didn't do it.
And listen, I'm still not sure that a championship team can have two alphas. I'm really
Andy
not sure.
Andy might be
yet.
Gone within a year. So, are you and really going to name him captain?
Especially with these two. So, yeah, no, I thought that too, also. But especially with these two. And if we're going to, if they're going to say that, if they're going to keep up their word with, they've been saying all through training camp and media day that, you know, oh, we believe in each other and that we don't have to be best of friends, to quote Al Horford. Oh, they don't have to be best of friends to guide a team. All right, well, give them the keys. And I think yes. That means them being captains, them having those difficult conversations that I'm still not quite sure they're having. Maybe they are. We'll have to find out, you know, wait and see.
Yeah.
But this you have to put it on them, put the pressure on them and see how they're able to handle
it. And you're not going to name – here's the thing. You're not going to name either Jaylen or Jason and not the other. So assuming it's one
exactly.
of them. And
exactly.
I think
so Jimmy
both.
Said this. If you have two, do you even have one? Like that's
exactly.
A real concern for me.
Exactly.
It doesn't
I was
matter
say that
at all. You're doing
if you have
it,
two captains, you have no captains.
It's like splitting one divided country into two. Like, you know, like you drew a border there, but is there really one? I don't know. Like it's
I don't know why that's the case. You can the point is we have two stars.
Not
and
to say that
I want to let everybody know that I want to let them know and everyone else know I view them as co-equals. And it
why
is
are
their
you
team.
Normalizing this so much? In what league or team have you seen two
yeah, who
captains?
Does this?
Who's huh? done this?
Who's done it?
Yeah, I'm asking because I don't know. But I also don't I don't know if it's ever happened. Maybe it has, but certainly doesn't happen often. So you guys are acting like
mistaken.
So normal and such a great idea. Yeah. Why? It's never been probably never been done before.
First of all, it has been done before. In fact, I saw it first.
All right, fine. Let's say it has been done, but it doesn't get done often.
Ben Wallace and Chauncey Billups were the captains, even though the leading scorer was in Jim Anderson.
That's a good example.
So
I was thinking about
that's fine.
Jimmy, you're right. It doesn't happen often. But here's the other thing too that you guys aren't talking about. One of the guys that you've talked about who should be the captain, Jaylen Brown, has said who he would want to be the captain of this team. That would be Al.
I hate that.
But why does he want that? Yeah, I didn't like that either.
It wasn't as if someone said, who do you think should be the captain? They just asked him about the captaincy.
But Sherrod, I hate that. I hate everything about that. You should want that responsibility.
Hey, but he clearly doesn't.
If you're Jaylen Brown.
He clearly doesn't. And that's my issue. If you don't want it, then be honest and authentic about saying you don't want it, which he has done. Does that mean that he's going to not be a dominant player? No, he's still going to get you 25, 6, and 7, but he's not going to be that guy because he thinks someone else should be that guy.
But at the same time, though, this is the same Jaylen Brown who somewhat surprised me with the Jason Tatum comments, right? Oh, he's one of the best players in the league. I'll say, okay, this is great. Maybe this is what I was thinking, right? This is the way I internalize it, right? Maybe this is Jaylen finally saying, look, he's the alpha, I'm the B, but then what did he say after all those nice things about Jason Tatum? He can be one of the best players in this league, but so can I.
So can I.
Exactly.
So can I.
Suck it,
so hear me out.
Right? Tatum's good, but so am I. Tatum is great. Tatum is the best player on this team, but so am I. I don't know if that's going to work. I don't know if that's a recipe for a championship down the road. I'm not quite sure if that works.
Which may be why they go into this. Don't necessarily name them captains just yet, because there clearly is some things they need to work through.
Okay, so that kind of goes back.
What you're doing is,
I'm not crazy about the whole captain thing too. Yeah, that's a good point.
I think
too.
What you're doing is basically saying, like, it's you two. It's not one, it's not the other, and it's certainly not anybody else. It's you guys. It is your team.
You're just you're just like taking them and like making them hug. Like, see guys, you're both captains. You're both
again,
besties.
If things go bad, you'll both be blamed.
It is a tactic, and there's no laying off responsibilities. There's none of what happened last year, which is shrugging your shoulders and saying, like, what are we supposed to do? Figure it out. I'm making you captains. It's your job now. You're the stars. Lead by example. Play. And that means through effort and through the way that you carry yourselves and how you talk to people. I think it's raising their level of expectation of who he wants them to be. You don't just get to be the stars who get the ball and score 25 points anymore. Now you've got a job. I'm deputizing you. And I think that's part of it as well. It's not like, Al and Marcus are tough and heart and soul guys. And you know, they get, no, I think.
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Marcus and Al.
It's not that they're not suited to it. Of course they are. They're leaders. People respect the hell out of those guys. Well, Marcus, I'm going to question, because we talked last year about, like, was there something going on? We don't know. But I think it's that first thing. He just wants them to be the guys.
Well, yeah, but also, their best players don't need to be your captains.
They don't need to be. I think he wants them to be.
But for this team in particular, I think it should. Yeah. If you're going to go down this road and elect captains, it should be these two.
And they're here for the long run. You don't know whether Al is, you know, I don't know. Anyway, Bobby,
well, here's
go
my
ahead,
thing
sorry.
About Al and Marcus. And initially, as you guys know, I was surprised it wasn't going to be Marcus, because again, we heard how he responded to it, and it's pretty evident he's not going to be one. But him, Al,
it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I actually believe him in that sense.
5 hours earlier, Marcus, you're not going to be one of the captains, just so you know.
What?
What's this? This wedding's bullshit.
Al.
He punched a frame.
Al, Marcus, they're two guys who
too
are going to think.
Too soon.
Stop with the Marcus slander.
Too soon, Jug.
It's one preseason game. Damn.
Hey, I'm on record. I think Marcus should be the captain. That's what I brought up last week. If all these power rankings and all
but
these
here's
people
the thing,
are saying
Jimmy.
That.
Come on, Sherrod. It's preseason. We got to get our jokes in now.
I know.
What's the point of?
Just name 15 captains. Seriously, everyone gets a gold star. Everyone gets a C. When they come out for game one, they're all captains.
All right, let Bobby finish.
How are you going to make Marcus a captain and have him on the trade block two months later? Like, you know, what, I mean,
I don't think it comes down to any of those things. I think it's like you said earlier, John, putting that responsibility on someone's plate who needs it. You didn't have to tell Smart, be a bigger leader. Be a
He's
going to
do it anyway.
And that's what he said in his answer. His answer was tongue-in-cheek, I think, but authentic. Like, I don't need to be told to be a leader in this room and do these things. We're all big guys, big boys here. You know, I'm going to do those things anyway.
The young kids need to be told that. The young kids need to be told to be leaders.
They're going to hear every single night in that warm-up line, the captain, as they go through again and again, and it's going to be reminded, and it's just going to be that kind of messaging that the messaging change that we talked about last week. How's Ime going to be different? Is giving a guy a captain the biggest deal in the world? No, but it's something Brad didn't do. So let's try it and see if it works. Yeah. If it even changes things 5-10% with those guys, then go ahead, do it. Give it a shot. There's no downside to this. Like, I think we thought for a second, would Smart be offended by this? Maybe it's something that motivates him a little bit more. I don't think he's going to start tuning out the team and getting like out of the fold because he's not a captain. But that is still something they have to navigate there. The bridge between Smart and the two other stars after what we heard about with that relationship last year. I don't think giving Smart captain solves that. It probably does more damage, like John said, in isolating the two stars who are above him, who feel like he was getting preferential treatment anyway, reportedly.
So, if that's the case, I don't know, you know? Yeah,
we don't know. But that's like the one kind of internal dynamic.
Sure, he doesn't like it. He's shaking his head.
That's the one kind of internal dynamic that we have something to grab at the very least. Because, again, we make these assumptions about Brown and Tatum. Like, we have no clue. Like, they honestly could be closer than we think. They've talked about being different, and they're really not being a huge gap there. But
yeah, you don't even believe that. Look at you. You don't even believe it.
I just don't, like, when we think about that, I just don't have anything to go
Jason
off
Tatum
there.
Plays basketball. He's in the locker near me. I know him.
I sat next to him at lunch today.
I think they acknowledge each other.
They're real about it.
We acknowledge each other.
Like, they acknowledge what's there and what isn't there, and they're going to have to navigate in some way. And again, I think Ime, with what we're hearing from him, being very upfront and, you know, direct about these kind of things. Like, he's not dancing around things that are going on in there or how they're playing. Like, I was kind of surprised after the way that game ended tonight for him to come out there guns blazing, ripping the team, which is what I kind of felt in the tenor of his presser there. I like his approach. I really do. Like, he is not going to just dance around anything. He's not going to be the guy in the hall during the players-only meeting. Like, I think there's a real definitive difference that we're starting to feel with him there. Some things different. Post some guys up. Just try different things.
I got to address this comment here. Boston media trying to break them up. Listen, this isn't that. This is guys who have been covering or watching the NBA long enough. We've seen this story before. We've seen teams that are way more talented than this Celtics team. In the Oklahoma
Something
City
was
Thunder,
wrong,
right?
Like, Joe Sway.
One of the best examples, right? And no one took the mantle to lead. And at the end of the day, they could have ran it back. They could have, you know, the should have, could have, whatever.
That's the point, Joe Sway. If it was COVID, if it was injuries, if it was all these things Smart rattled off the day of they lost to Brooklyn, Brad would be the coach and Danny would be the GM. There was something deeper here that they were trying to change.
It's just the culture, Bobby. You know, it's the culture. And it's not Brad Stevens' fault. It's just, it was time for a change. And they need that culture change now more than ever because they have two budding superstars who are only going to get better. They haven't even peaked yet. So it's going to be interesting to see how they lead because at the end of the day, it's going to be down to them. Sure, it's up to the pieces around them. You know, they're going to need that supporting cast. But if we're talking about two rising stars here in the Eastern Conference, I mean, at the end of the day, it's up to them.
Robert
for them
Williams,
to guide.
Peyton Pritchard, right?
Yeah. Look, here's the problem.
Man, I'm talking about Schroeder's and the Al Horford's in.
Here's the problem with most like debates is people jump to one side or another and they miss the nuance in the conversation. No one is saying Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum have to be best friends in order for them to play together. Nobody, literally nobody is saying it. So stop saying that Boston media is saying it. Nobody is saying that they have to be best friends. There's a zillion examples of it. The only main concern is
Shaq and Kobe, they were not best of friends.
Literally nobody is saying it. So stop. What people are not saying, what people wish was if there was a stronger bond and a closeness that the two would never leave one another, which is ultimately the goal in Boston, which is keep the stars you have here because it's going to be hard to get anybody close to their caliber of player. And if they were tied to one another and if they would say things like, dude, Jalen and the two of us together, we're going to conquer the world. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to bring more people here. We're going to whatever. The fear is, by not being buddy-buddy, is that they're going to buddy up elsewhere. That's the only concern people have with Tatum and Brown. When their contracts are up, is there enough pull to keep the two of them together, or will they look to go with their agents, you know, and the other guys who have the same agent and buddies elsewhere? That's the problem. Right. That's literally it. So people miss the point of the debate. It's not that they can't play well together. It's, are they in it together for the long
haul? Are they
haul
enough to keep each right other here?
And yeah, that's it, because you're only worried about keeping them here. If you're a Boston right fan right now and you're seeing a team that finished 36-36 last year, who's right now being predicted by some to go in the 5 or the 6 seed, and you're starting to get worried that Jalen and Jason are going to look for the door, you want to know that they're tied together. That's
they need to be business partners, okay? Yes. They need to be. Right. They don't need to just acknowledge each other. No, they need to be a partnership between these two, you know?
And again,
you need to guide this team.
We see them working on it. We talked about the tweets,
which is important. Yeah,
you know, the gold medal, Vegas.
All the players going to, you know, Jalen's, you know, clothing.
They're starting to buy into the
optics, supporting him there and stuff. Yeah,
like yeah, they're showing through their actions. They may not, you know, you may have Marcus saying captain isn't important, but would Ime be doing it if he didn't feel like it was important? If it was just a little show that he was trying to run here, like he thinks there's some real benefit to this.
And I do see that. You know, I do see that. Sorry to cut you off, Bob. You can finish.
Oh, go ahead. That was all.
I was just gonna say, I do see the thinking behind naming them both captains. Even if Sherrod, even if Jaylen Brown says he thinks Al Horford should be captain, I think it's actually better if you make Jaylen Brown the captain, even if he doesn't want to be, and put him in a position where he has to lead. I think he's a great leader already, probably more so off the court maybe than on the court, but he certainly has those qualities about him, and sometimes you just need to be put in a position that maybe you didn't think you were ready for, maybe you didn't think you wanted, but since you have been put in it, now that's going to, you know, compel you to take things to another level. So if that's what Ime's thinking by naming these two guys the captains, Tatum and Brown, and thinking that that might take them to that next level, and make them, you know, leaders on the court and off the court, and sort of like role models for the rest of their teammates, or some of the younger guys that are coming on now, like the Nesmiths and the Romeos, they aren't the young guys on the team anymore. So they actually do kind of fit into that captaincy sort of area. I mean, they're supposed to be guys that are going to be in the team for a while.
That's why I think it's a smart move when you're saying, why name two captains? This is the why. I think, like I said, is you want to put it in both of their heads. It's the two of you and do it together. It's a big deal. I like the idea. I like if this is his goal, I like the strategy behind it. And because they are trying to make an effort to make it more of a thing. And I think this could be something that helps. I don't know.
Well, this is my question, is the how. Because we talked about Brad last year. Like, is his adjustment going to be screaming and yelling and blowing up on the sideline? We said that's not him. And, you know, you look at Tatum. He's not an extremely vocal guy. He's not going to be a, you know, Rasheed Wallace type in terms of leadership. So I asked Sherrod, like, you know, you saw Chauncey, you saw Rasheed do it. What things do Brown and Tatum need to do to be successful in that role?
Well, the biggest, first and foremost, they need to be authentically who they are. Don't try to be something that you're not, because you get exposed really quick. Second, you got to be intentional with your actions and your leadership. You can't just let things slide on Monday and Tuesday and then try to crack the whip Thursday and Friday. You have to be consistent with the messaging that you have for your players. And the third thing is you have to understand that your leadership is only part of the puzzle. And I think that's kind of what Marcus Smart was kind of getting to, where he said that, you know, I don't care. I'm still going to be a leader. That has to be the mindset. Because, again, I go back to that Detroit teams where you had Chauncey, you had Ben Wallace, you had Rasheed Wallace, you had Rip Hamilton, and they all were leaders of some sort and in some capacity. But Ben and Chauncey were the ones that were really the captains, even though Rip Hamilton was their best scorer and Rasheed Wallace was arguably their best all-around player when you talk about scoring, rebounding, defending, passing, making your teammates better. So you have to understand what role you have to play in that whole leadership hierarchy. And if you've got Jalen and Tatum at the top of the food chain, there has to be a clear understanding of the leadership of the other guys on this team. Because if you're leaning on those two guys to carry all or most of the leadership burden, they're not built for that yet.
they're good players and they're going to be great leaders, I think, in time. But I don't think they're quite built to carry this franchise the way some people think they should. And I think Jalen is smart enough to know that if the opportunity presents itself for him to be a captain, he will gladly take it.
They're going to have to learn that.
Yeah, he's not in a rush to do that because he knows that that's a tremendous amount of responsibility. And even if he is ready for that, he's not quite as ready as he probably would want to be for that.
Yeah, but you know, in a year or two, Sherrod.
Why isn't he ready? In a year or two. Go, Chuck. Go.
So am I, right? To use his quote, right? Jason Tatum's one of the best players, but so am I. You know what? I'm going to set up shops elsewhere. Like, that's the thing, Sherrod. You have to put it on to them now. You have to tell them to put on their big boy pants, right?
They don't have time.
Hey, Celtics fans, right? Oh, these young guys, yeah, oh, you guys don't even realize.
It's now.
They've been to the Eastern Conference Finals so many times. Oh, all these deep playoffs. They're much older than, okay, well, put your big pants on and be a starter. You know,
and that's why, don't you get
the guy the team like a superstar is supposed to. You got two of them? Even better.
Don't you get concerned in some way hearing Jalen say, like, oh, give it out, too? Like, come on, take it. Like,
that's concerning, honestly.
Don't look at Smart. You're not those guys anymore. This isn't
look in the mirror.
I don't look at it like that at all. I look at it when he said that.
I think he's being respectful.
Respect for Al.
Yeah.
I thought he was being very respectful of Al.
Like,
but at the same time, he's letting you know that, hey, if it's on me, though, it's an honor.
Have you ever had a team vote for captain?
That was the whole quote.
Any team you've played on.
If said there was going to be one captain, maybe he says himself. Maybe.
I know, look, have you ever had a team vote for captain when you were playing sports? Nobody votes for themselves. You're like, I should be the guy, but I'm
Jimmy used to, but
yeah. It was unanimous.
And one vote for Jimmy Toscano.
It was an unanimous vote.
He's like,
who voted for me? Come on, voted for me? Who voted for me, guys?
But deep inside, he's like, you mother.
Right. Yeah.
But when you talk about the whole captaincy thing, it really does come down to, do you want it? I mean, I'm not going to lie. Every team I played on, I wanted to be the fucking captain. Not even going to lie. I absolutely wanted, and I was. And I made it clear, and I was very intentional about that. So I can understand where Jalen is coming from.
Humble brag.
Respecting Al, but I would really would much rather just say, yeah, I want to be the captain.
I hope they aren't voting. The vote can be a mess, like John said. Oh, we got one for Canada. We got one for
yeah. Romeo Langford. Wow.
That's weird. He made a roster.
Brad standing behind him. I told you it's a bad idea, Coach.
Yeah. Emay, please rig the ballot box.
Don't let them vote. We told you not to let them vote for themselves.
We told you not to let them vote.
Anyway, we've been going
Taco.
On a bit. We got to put a bow on it. Because these guys, we've been going a while. It's the first one in a while, so we're excited. But
yeah, we are.
Gerard and Bobby have grown up work to do because they're at the game. So I do want to wrap it. Let everybody know before we go once again. Legends, baby. We're running out of time.
Legends. Use
the code GARDEN20. Save 20% on your first order. This October 8th. October 8th, this sale ends, okay?
Dude, it's sweatshirt weather. Right now in Boston, it's been raining the last couple of days. Time. You just kind of want to toss it on.
That white camo is so great. I love it.
Yep.
I can't
support our sponsors. Yep. Joe Sway's got it. It's comfy, man. Yep. It's comfy.
It really is. Comfy.
Yeah. So go get yourself some. Al's going to get, Bobby's getting a pair of joggers for Al. He's going to bring to the game for Al next time.
Hey, sorry about that last Zoom call. I swear that's never happened before.
To show my sincerity, here are some joggers.
Yeah.
All right.
That's it for that, guys. Closing thoughts before we wrap. It's good to get the band back together. Good to see some basketball. Good to have something to talk about for sure.
Watch him start Pritchard next game because of our conversation.
I love it.
My closing thought is, since we didn't really talk about him as much, I just want to say it was good to see Jaylen Brown come out strong. I know he had the wrist, surgery and everything like that. So
zip
looks
it,
healthy.
Zip it on the
Jaylen.
That's
all
talk.
I'm gonna say.
That was good. We should talk a little about Jaylen. I'm just kidding. The way he was talking on and off about the wrist,
right,
I think some people were a little worried. Then he just came out and he's like, bing,
he's
bing,
like,
bing, bing,
you know,
bing.
Good
and
days and bad days.
That is crazy to think about. Yeah, I think we I assumed at least it was going to linger for a while here in the camp, maybe even the season. And for it to not even be a concern is surprising in a good way.
Right. So that's good. Sherrod, anything from you?
No, I'm just getting me some Legends gear right now.
Oh, hell yeah.
You got that sale.
Like, literally getting some right now.
Four days to go, and I am getting
some more.
I'm
going to have to get some tonight before all of our listeners do it, because I want to make sure I get, you know, the right colors yeah, and everything like that. So
I think our conversation tonight did kind of reveal the amount of guys on this team vying for playing time, which is going to be tough to navigate. Like, that thing works itself out sometimes with injuries and other. They got 10, 12 guys, which can be a blessing and a curse.
Yeah. Facts.
Yeah. All right, anyway, good to have you guys back in the chat, and good to have you hanging out. We definitely look forward to next game Saturday, I believe. Saturday.
I'll be at a wedding, so you won't see me Saturday, but it's all good. It's preseason. It's still wedding season, so it's tough to balance all these. You know, Saturday, come on.
Yeah.
It's tough to balance all these weddings, you know.
It's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
some of us will be here. Some of us will be back.
Yeah. Somebody might be around.
Yeah, you'll be missed, Jimmy.
I bet.
Not really.
Definitely. Those of us with no friends or who are too old for people to get married around them anymore. So, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll be here. We'll be here on Saturday. But until then, again, thanks a lot. Support our sponsor, Legends.com.
It's not my wedding, in case any girls are listening or watching, just so everyone's aware.
Look, we're gonna have to make sure we're not wearing Legends gear in the same day. I'm buying the same sweatshirt, just letting you know.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, we'll make sure that doesn't happen. Oh, you know me, though. I got like a bunch of these different colors. But we'll see.
Not my wedding, everybody. All the ladies out there, just keep on.
Yes.
Keep on sliding in.
If everyone wondering, Jimmy's still single. Yes.
Sure. Did Joe Sway look that good? Were you like, I got to buy that sweatshirt right now?
No, I'm looking at the different colors. I want that sweatshirt.
This is a good one.
That is a good one. I got the black. I like the black.
I got too many black. That's the other thing too. That's a color
I don't have. Everyone has a black hoodie. Yeah.
I'm going to get one right now. I'm not kidding. As soon as we cut this.
Garden 20.
All right. Garden 20. All right, all. Thank you very much. Good night. We will see you.